Romans 13. We've been in Romans, and I want to remind us of a few things, because Romans, there's Christians in Romans that are Gentiles. There's Christians in Romans that are Jews. So Paul, one of the goals of Romans is to unite these two groups because they have been divided. And so we've been going through much of Romans. He's told us, Paul is speaking about a lot of different things. And now he's coming to the place of how do we live as Christians, you know, and coming together with the same thoughts. You know, here's where we're united. Now, we can always find places that we're not united. You know, I mean, one person has this political view. One person has this political view. One person thinks that women shouldn't be up here doing what I'm doing. You know, another one believes in baptism only of believers. Someone else says we should have infant baptism. I mean, we could fight on forever. In fact, the first verse of Romans 14, accept other believers who are weak in the faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right and wrong. Okay? So we can always find that. But Paul says, you know what? There is something that brings us together. And we are now going to hit that important note. And I'm just going to read that as the very first. So go to Romans 13. Let's see, that's verse 9 there, 9 and 10. These and other such commandments are summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, now hear that. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the whole key. This is the whole key to how we are to live as Christians. And yet, in so many ways, we kind of take a break for that. We're going to see in this first section, we kind of take a break from how we love one another when we look at those officials in politics. We take a break from that when we want to have a good time. We're going to look at that in the last section. We take a break from that when someone has done us wrong. But one of the things I always know about God and see is that he's always calling us deeper into this place of love. You know, the Jewish people thought if I just obey the Ten Commandments, you know, if I just obey the laws. And by the time of Jesus' time, they had added like some 1,000 different laws that, you know, if you fulfill this, then, you know, it's outside of what, you know, it's kind of the next step beyond what Scripture says. So they had all these rules and regulations and how you live, how you eat, what you do. And yet Jesus still said, you still don't get it. You know, even in the idea of looking lustfully at another woman, what does he say? You've already committed adultery in your heart. See, we like to be able to say, I did this and this and this, therefore I'm okay. I want to feel I'm okay. I want to feel that I'm good. I want to feel I'm righteous by what I've done. What? Or haven't done, that's right. You know, I look much better than those, you know, who did that. Yeah, but he's calling us, he's saying, people, it's so much deeper than that. It's so much deeper than that. So It's basically divided into three sections, one about authority, one about the love, and then one about how in the world you better not live. You wait to it, because we're going to, I'm hoping I can read some of this. Because the Greek words in here, some of this later stuff, I mean, they're talking about awful stuff. You know, they're using nasty words here even about how they conducted themselves. And yet the implication in this is that Christians were doing that. Christians were saying that's okay. And how much in our society have we been made numb by the ungodliness? Do we blush anymore? Do our ears burn when we hear things like the F word? You know? Yeah, Ellen, you're from a different generation. Your generation didn't. I'm going to point that. This younger generation, even the boomers, you know, and below, does that even bother us? You know, what comes out of our mouths? All of this. And Jesus, and Paul's not telling us to do a behavior. This is about our hearts, looking at the attitudes of our hearts. That's what it's always about. It's about how are we reflecting. And some of the very last parts of this, he goes on to say not what not to live. And he said, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus. And do not think about ways to indulge your evil desires. I mean, what does our society say? Go for it. You know, if it feels good, do it. You know, and our whole sense of morality has been pecked away at. And what Paul's saying, as Christians, you need to be different. You need to be different. You need to not look like the world. You need to not look like the world. Now, Paul here is not condemning people, but he's raising them up and saying, let's go to a new level. We need to go to a different level. Okay, the past is the past. God's forgiven you. But now, as we move into the future, let's be this. Romans, you should look differently. You know, you should come together. You should be united. So let's go all the way back to verse 12 and pick up a couple little things. First of all, in the very first thing he said, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. That's his 12:1. I'm leading in the New Living Translation because I like some of the things that it said. Okay? Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the true way to worship him. And don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good and pleasing and perfect. This is what's really setting us up for this whole next couple chapters. Let me talk just a little bit in the background before we hit this issue on authority. Now, we know that they were under Roman authority. They were subjugated, okay? They were told, you know, this was not their rule. And there was even, and we're going to see the word sword in here, there was this thing called the power of the sword. And the rule was then that the Romans had a right to kill, but nobody else did. the Roman citizens in this area had rights, but the Jewish citizens did not. That's why Paul, when he was in trouble, he appealed to his Roman citizenship. And this is a cruel society. You know, when you think of things like the arena and, you know, how they killed Christians, this is not a nice, sweet society. You know, this is not love everybody, it's good, you know. But hey, if you didn't do something the Roman government, you know, liked, you could get killed. And one of the things that the Jews believed is that one of the places for Messiah was therefore then to rescue them from Rome. The Jews as a whole were a rebellious people. You know, all we have to do is look back in the Old Testament and we could see that they were rebellious. There was even a party of the Zealots. Now, who do we know that was a Zealot? Simon, okay? And the Zealots thought was that there was no king but God and no tribute, in other words, paying taxes to God, and that God would help them if they helped themselves to overthrow the Roman government. So they thought if they, you know, kind of were a part of this revolution, God was going to come and rescue them. And even so far as sometimes if they got mad at somebody who was paying this tribute or tax that we're going to see later, they would kill them. They would kill their fellow, you know, Jews. And in this Roman society, the expectation was to sacrifice to Caesar. Caesar was considered a god, so you sacrifice to Caesar. Well, the Jews refused to do that, which is great. But in their way to meet that, they sacrificed in honor of Caesar in the temples, and they even said prayers for them, which is not a bad way to go, you know, if you have to do something differently, okay? But when they decided that this wasn't good, there was revolution and there was problems. Just a few years before this was written, Claudius kicked all the Jews and all the Christians out of Rome for about a couple years. And so then they've come back. So now we're at this place where they've come back and things are different. Even keeping this in perspective, about 8 years or maybe a little more after is when Nero would begin hunting down Christians and crucifying them. You know, he crucified, put Christians all on crosses all the way through Rome. Yeah, not a nice thing. So in this thought, Paul's words are revolutionary. And I think we need to take them to listen to them. You know, there's parts of scripture that I love. You know, I love that my sins are forgiven. I love that I can have a relationship with the Lord. I love, you know, how we get to treat each other. You know, all kinds of things. I love parts of scripture. And there are other parts of scripture I just want to go, next. You know, anybody with me? You know, it's like, next. So here's this section on what to do about authority. I don't like it. You know, Thomas Jefferson didn't like a lot of things in scripture, so he would cut them out of his Bible. You know, so he had this Bible. I actually saw it. It's in his home place. What is that? Monticello. Yeah, it's in his home place. And so they cut it out. He cuts out things he doesn't like. So here, Christians, though, we got to hear this. We can't just pick and choose the things of Scripture that we like and don't like. Now, how we apply this, there's room for that. But here's what it says. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. None of us like the word submit. You know, that's not an American word, you know? Submit. For all authority comes from God. And in those positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Now, most likely here, he is talking about some rebellions that have gone on in the past. And, you know, he's speaking against that. You know, hey, and he's saying realistically, if you rebel, this government's going to punish you. You know, be realistic, you know, and it is God who's instituted government. We got to hear that. It's God who instituted government. Okay? So then, for the authorities do not strike in fear, do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without the fear of authorities? Well, then do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. Okay? I mean, you know, I don't like that. You know, that goes against this our whole American way of thought. Let me go on. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do wrong. And in this translation, it doesn't talk about the sword thing, but in other translations, it is that idea that they could, that they had the right to kill you with a sword. So give to everyone what you, whoops, wrong one. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but here's the next kicker, but to keep a clear conscience. So how do we do that in our politics today? How do we apply this? There are politicians I'm not wild about. What? Absolutely. But so are these people. This is where we have to, you know, like we'd like to put this aside, say, well, this, you know, our, you know, politicians, you know, he's not speaking to where we are. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. He's speaking exactly to where our society is. That's right. It was an unjust society. It wasn't fair. Things would happen. People would get killed or put in jail, you know, or money taken away from them. And if you weren't a Roman citizen, there was no recourse for you. Unjust. And yet he's saying, submit to them. So how do we do this as we look at our next election? How do we do this? What is our role as Christians in how we look at our government? He's also going on, and I'm going to add this now. We're going to talk about taxes in a minute, but I know, lovely. See, you know, I saw this, and this really wasn't in the lectionary. They actually just skipped this part, and I thought, you know what, you can't do it. This is too important. And so he talks about paying tax and the government fee, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. You see, we as Americans, and I laughed at one of my friends in Kyrgyzstan. He said to us, he said, you know, you Americans think that you have to have an opinion about everything and share your opinions. Yeah, of course we do, you know, but he meant it kind of like, and I had to think, and I thought, yeah, I guess we do, you know, but here God has set up government. He set it up. It looks differently in different places. But the idea of government and someone who is to be taking care of society is the role of the government, and that, and he's the one who set us up having these governments. So how do we then, as Christians, deal with this? I mean, this is a deep thing. This is really deep because our society, I watched the presidential debates, the Republican presidential debate, because I don't know a lot of the candidates. I just wanted to know who they were. Some of that was really nasty. Anybody else watch it? Yeah. But it was really nasty. Give respect and honor to those who are in authority. How can we as Christians, even as we talk among ourselves, how can we think about this next election? And I'm just raising this issue because I don't have any good answers. You know, I don't, the Lord didn't reveal this revelation. This is how you do it, you know. But I think what we need to do is keep this principle in mind in all that we say and all that we do. You know, I mean, I've heard Christians who say, well, I'm not praying for, you know, someone who's in the office because they're in a different party than I am. You know, what? Respect, give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Now we're all going to come to the great topic of taxes. Oh, we all love taxes. Well, let me tell you what you think. You had taxes. All right. So as Jews, they had to pay a tribute to the Roman government. Now, Romans didn't have to pay this tribute, but Gentiles and Jews did, who were not Roman citizens. So they paid a ground tax. And it was 1/10 of all your grain and 1/5 of all your wine. Then you had to pay a 1% income tax. And then you had to pay a poll tax. And I'm not sure exactly what this was for everybody 14 to 65. Now, that's just your basis. Then we have other local taxes that you had to pay. There was a local tax. Then there was custom duties. So anything that was coming in, goods brought into the Rome, had to pay taxes. They had an import and an export tax. They had a tax to use the roads, crossing the bridges, use the harbor and markets, the right to possess animal, and the right to drive a cart. Yeah. Well, okay, but here's the kicker. The Jews also had to pay the 10% temple tax. So you are talking for the Jews. Who knows? I don't know what the percent. Yeah. Okay. And so when Jesus was talking about render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Okay. That's what he's talking about. This is the tribute tax. Unto God, what is God's? That's the temple tax. Okay. What? Yeah, that's right. He's saying you can't get out of it. So, and the amount of taxes, it actually led to a tax revolt. And this says about 58 AD, there was this big revolt against paying, you know, all these taxes, and didn't go so well for people. So, okay. But here's what then Paul says to them. This is why, you know, this is another one we don't want to hear. Okay. And some people refuse. Pay your taxes too for the same reason. For the government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and your government fees. Some of them even did custom fees. That was how they said it. To those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Now, one of the reasons that tax collectors were so hated was then they often skimmed off, you know, made people pay more than what all this already is. So when Zacchaeus said, I will pay back four times, you know, if I've cheated anyone, he knows exactly what he's talking about, because the tax collectors had that right to gather these taxes. And then, well, you need to pay a little more. So, and yet, what is Paul saying? Pay your tax. Pay your tax. Whew. Not my favorite. None of these. You know? I hate tax, you know, when you have to, you know, give out all that tax. You know? When you go to the store and they add, you know, all this tax to it. You know? It's like, oh, Lord, look, you know, you think, okay, I've got this much money, so if I can buy this, I get it. And then you add the tax on it, and it changes everything, you know. One of these hard things, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. Because who has set up government? Okay. So, Paul is very radical in what he's saying here. And for us to hear that today is somewhat radical, because that's not what we're being taught. That's not what the world is teaching us. And even in a lot of Christian circles, that's not what they're teaching. You know, and somehow we're blessed to have a government that we get to participate in. Okay, so that we, you know, how do we then work for change in the government so it's righteous and fair, but also honor those in authority? This would be a great discussion to be able to sit around the table and talk about. I mean, because I don't know how to do it. Yeah, well, not perfectly, you know, because I'm going to go, there's some politicians in my humanness I do not respect or honor. What? Yeah. Oh, I don't care which. I am a pretty apolitical person, you know. I've got more issues than, you know, parties, because I hate the rancor between them. That's my own. I hate, you know, that's why even the debates were like, row, row, row. You know, it's like, you know, I don't like conflict like that. What? Yeah, and but it also, yeah, I know it's for television, but it bothers my spirit when I hear the disrespect, the dishonoring, the way you could cut somebody's even character down, and it's okay. So now, we get to move on, but so we're at 13:8 now. Yeah. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation. Now listen to that. Your obligation. And that's the right word as that's translated. To love one another. And this is agape love. This is not filial love. Earlier in 12, they were talking about brotherly love. But in this specific, thank you. It can't come out. Specific. Hey, right by my where I was sitting, there's a bottle of water. If you could bring that up for me, I'd love that. In this specific situation, okay, this love is agape love. It is that perfect love. Yeah. So owe nothing to anyone. Now, one of the reasons they may be addressing this, in fact, was there was a movement that said the Lord's Prayer, how does the Lord's Prayer say? Forgive us our debts as we forgive others who have. So there was this sense that some people, as they heard this, thought, well, therefore I don't have to pay my debts. And part of this was also this sense that the Messiah was coming back again soon. We'll see this expectation. The early church thought Jesus was coming back at soon. I mean, that was just something that permeated the whole church. But here Paul says, owe nothing to everyone. In other words, pay your debts. except for the obligation to love one another. Now, I want you to look at one another and say, you're obligated to love me. 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 Yeah, and that it's in marriages, it's in churches, it's in relationship, it's in the civic people that we come to. See, he's just told us how we have to respect and honor authority, and now he says, you need to love them. And some of them aren't that lovable. But that's not how we get to decide. You know, we were pastors for 30 years. And the reality is some people in the church are just amazing. They're lovely. They're fun. You get great relationships with them. And there are other people who it's like, Lord, give me grace. You know, that we, and all of us have people like that in our lives, you know, and I know Scott, I'm sure he's never said that about anybody specific, but I'm sure he struggles with that. You know, there are people who you click with naturally in your personalities, you know, and there's some who rub you the wrong way. There was just an article, Scott and I were talking about it, in the that's gone through Facebook kind of thing. And it's about why this pastor was quitting. And one of the reasons the pastor was quitting is because so much criticism had come his way. See, this is really an interesting thing, okay? As Christians, we'll say we need to love one another unless they're a politician or in authority. And unless they're the pastor or leadership of my church. Some of the nastiest things I've heard are against pastors. But it's like, as Christians, we think we have a right to do that. And Paul's saying, you know, brakes on that, you know. Except for your owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. Now, remember he's speaking to both Jewish and Gentiles. So he's saying to the Jews here that, you know, you fulfill all that the law was intended when you love. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. Now, there are four of these last, the Ten Commandments are basically divided in half. The first five are our relationship to the Lord, and it includes the Sabbath, and then honor your mother and father. And then the last five are how we should treat one another. All right? Which one is he missing? That's good Bible scholars here. What is he missing? We have commit adultery, steal, covet, and murder. Well, that one's before that. That's all, and that's before that. Yep. No, bearing false witness is not in there. My translation, and I saw this last night. It's adultery, murder, steal, and covet.
Mine is, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not covet. How's that?
Which verse is that?
8.
Yeah, that was not in my translation.
Verse 9.
That was not in any of the translations that I saw. What do you have? Who has an NIV? Okay. Read. Somebody who has NIV, read that. Verse 9.
The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor and
Okay. So I'm not sure why you have the...
I've got New King James.
Yeah, it's, well, I looked at the Greek and Hebrew, and just trust me, it's not in there. You know, they've added that, but it's not in there. Okay. So what he's saying, though, to the Jews here is these laws that are about how we treat one another, when you love, you fulfill one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so it fulfills the requirement of God's laws. Wow. Love one another. I mean, that's huge. I have always felt that if the church could get this down, we would win the world in just a few years. But I'm not good at this. Oh, there's some people that are easy to love, and I can love lots of people, you know. But sometimes there are people, you know, just as we talked about, that are not lovable, that are hard to love. Alan and I had some prayer time just the other day with someone who's a pastor who's going through that hurt. You know, this has happened, this has happened. And he has some special, there are some things on his life that special needs. And he was like, why do people keep hurting me? You know, why do people keep being nasty to me? You know? And it was like, that is a reality of a pastor. I can tell you in my own church, and this is for what it's worth, whether you stay here a million years, whether you go to another church, that the ones that pastors can hear are those who are on the pastor's side. And if there's something wrong, they're coming at it as, let's get this fixed, and I'm with you, I'm for you. But there are lots of people in the church that have the expectation that they are the pastor's bosses. It's a subtle thing, you know? It's subtle, but you guys have experienced some of that in your last church, Chris, some of the stuff that went on, you know? So this element, love your neighbor as yourself. Huge. Okay? Do we love our families as ourselves? How many families are fractured? I just read a report that said almost 25% of those under 35 are alienated from their families. Okay. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. But now here I'm going to talk about the reality of this. Scott, I'm going to go long today because it was long before. I haven't even had an hour yet, so can I have some more? Okay. Take two. Oh, take two. Call me in the morning. All right, now that just got me confused. Going about love. Okay, here's the reality. You can't give what you don't have. Okay, and that includes love. If you are not allowing Father to pour his love into you by the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, you are not going to have it. And that means spending time with him in whatever way. I mean, you know, lots of people connect with God in different ways. You know, for some people, it means getting out in nature and being alone. For some, worship really brings them that that sense. Others is going to a mountaintop or being, sitting by the ocean, whatever it is. But we need to be on a regular basis coming to our Father who, what did you say, Sue, today? That Father was madly in love with us. You have a Father who loves you dearly. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And Scripture says that love covers multitudes of sin. And so He does not even look at you seeing all your faults. Love covers. And you know, in this sense, as we think about loving our neighbors as ourselves, you know what? We should be covering our neighbors. Yeah. I think it's James. In James, they talked about love covers. So part of this is up to us. If we're going to, what did it say at the very end? Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it really means, allowing Christ to minister to you, to be covered by Him, so that you have something to give. One of my prayers when I meet people who, for some way or some reason, that something within me, rubs me the wrong way, I really ask, I say, Father, would you let me see them how you see them? Father, would you let me see them how you see them? Because when I do that, love covers multitude of sin, because that's the way Father sees them, His love. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, He provided that love covers. There's nothing that love cannot cover. Now, it doesn't mean that we have a right just to stay where we are and continue in sin, because He's going to tell us in just a few minutes not to do that. But who are we, church? Who are we? That's right. So He even started out in one of the other that talks about, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. So as we are receiving this love, it's because He wants to give it. He is so anxious for you to become like His son Jesus. Because His son Jesus perfectly reflected Him. I want to reflect Jesus. I want people to look at me and go, I wonder what this Christianity stuff is all about. I've heard some bad stuff, but gee, when I see her, I feel a little different. That's what I want. Whew. This is heavy stuff, isn't it? First we talk about government, then we talk about love. But this love really is what covers. Love one another. Love the politicians. Love those in authority. It's that same command. Oh, really hard to do. There's some things in Scripture that are really easy, and you gotta go, oh yeah, I got that one. Got that one knocked off. I can do that. But these are hard. Loving one another is really difficult. And it doesn't say love those who are nice people. It doesn't say love those who you get along with. You know, doesn't say love those who've treated you right. You know, and in our marriages, we need to really be looking at that question. He says, love does no wrong to others. Ooh. Do I do wrong to my mate? I would love to say no, but that isn't the truth. Yeah, you know. There are times that I don't treat Alan properly. And if he were here, I'd say vice versa, but I don't want him to say it without him. By the way, he's out preaching at another church today. Okay, now we're going to move on to this next section where he's going to talk about what not to do. I am not giving you answers today. I am asking questions for you to be seeking Father, because each one of us has to ask the Lord, how do we do this? Now, I could give you, you know, you do it this way and this way and this way, and guess what I've just done? I put you back into the law. But by raising questions that you have to go to the Lord to, then I'm putting you back into relationship, because you have to be asking Father how you do it. And that's what I want for you. All right. Now, this is, he goes on, and we're in verse 11. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running up. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, again, this is this emphasis on the fact that he thinks that the expectancy of the Lord is going to return again. Okay? Wake up, for your salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is gone. The day of salvation will soon be there. And, you know, some of these things he's doing almost, you know, are plays on words. Like when he says, don't owe anybody anything, you know. So now he's going to be looking at this wake up night and day, that illustration, that metaphor he's going to be using here in this. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. In other words, you know, you represent the Lord. You need you need others to see that how you live is good. Now, here's where we get to the interesting part. Now, we need to talk about cultural parties that were back in the Roman times, in the Greek times. So, the Greeks and Romans were somewhat hypocritical. In the fact, on one hand, they thought intoxication was not right, and there were even certain areas that preached, you know, that the moral of that area was not intoxication. Then there were other areas that didn't feel that way, so they did something else. And often the elite, and let's, as we think about today, the elite had their own rules. Okay? So here's what they had. There were several types of parties that went on. One of them, because what's the Roman god of wine? Bacchus, that's right. So Bacchus, they thought that getting drunk, okay, actually would bring them closer to the god Bacchus. So wild parties. And then they have these things, the Greeks called them symposium, and the Romans call them conviviums. So these were parties where you had maybe anywhere from 8 to 15 in a room, and you would all be lounging, you know, on your couches, and they would, the part of this was for entertainment, and part of it was just a plain drinking party. Now, the drinks that we think about, though, in, you know, as we look at them, they're actually a little better than what we might say, is that they diluted their wine a lot. Anywhere as little as a 2-to-1 ratio, water, two water to one wine or as much as 8-1. The host got to decide. So, you know, if you really want a rowdy party, then you only dilute it maybe 2 or 3, you know, things of water to wine. And when they drank them, they had these round, it was almost like a shallow bowl, and they would drink out of those. And basically during this time, there was all kinds of entertainment by slaves, dancing, people played the flute, they would have animals, they would have, you know, fights, all acrobatics. And, you know, as the night went on, more and more things happened. You know, and the wine, as you had more wine, then you threw off some of your moral restraints. And sexuality would happen within there. And not only that, there were some times where basically they went out in the streets, absolutely sloshed, and they would go to their friend's house and wake them up and want them to join. So it was kind of like an out-of-control pub crawl, you know, if you think about it. Okay. So this is what is going on in the Roman culture. Now, here, Paul is talking about don't get involved with this. And the thing that we have to remember that he often speaks to problems. So what was the problem? They were doing this. They were joining in this. They were part of it. And not only that, some of the words that he's going to use, and I hope I can read some of this, that are connected to gods. So as they're worshiping, as they're getting drunk, they're also almost worshiping the gods, the Roman gods that are part of this. All right, so let's see if I can, I may not be able to. I'm not going to be able to because I didn't see this until I turned it over. There are 4 different words. He has these pairs. So it's wild party and drunkenness, sexual promiscuity and immoral living, quarreling and jealousy. So the wild parties, he's talking about throwing off restraint. And that word was kamos. And it was just this idea that, and Kamos was a god. And he was the son of Bacchus. So the idea that Kamos, so that you, that drinking was great. So you had these wild parties. They were, some places they even termed, in some translations, they even called them orgies. Okay. Then the drunkenness was, let me see if I can find it. No, it was Methos. And Methos was a nymph who talked about revelry and festivals. So Paul here is saying, don't participate in this type of unbridled partying. You know, don't do this. You know, and even, so he's speaking actually against the Roman gods here. All right, then he goes on to sexual promiscuity and immoral things. Somebody else read what they have in that for sexual immoral. So the middle two are just simply words, and basically it means you're having sex without any thought for anybody. It was just, you know, so he's probably speaking about the issue of sex without consensus, you know. Now, it's a very interesting thing. The Jewish people thought that adultery was only with Jews, but that you could have sex with Gentiles and it wasn't adultery. That still exists today. Yeah, you know, so it's, they wouldn't really necessarily consider that adultery. So, and the second word actually is debauchery, And debauchery has this idea that it's something done in public that shouldn't even have been done. And isn't that where our society is? You know, we see things happening in nightclubs, in bars, in parties, you know, parades, frat houses, absolutely, all this. And the word debauchery is really the idea that it's just, it's like a nasty word. Says this isn't how Christians act. This is not who we are. Then he goes on to talk about and most of us, as we look at, go, oh yeah, I'm okay with that one. You know, we're okay. And then we get to the or in quarreling and jealousy. And again, these are two gods. Quarreling is Eros, and it is the god of division and strife. And the next one is Zelo, and again, it is that sense of, you know, wanting something that someone else has in jealousy. Yeah, burn. So Paul is saying, don't do that. How often, though, do we as Christians, are we divided? Are we quarreling? Are we jealous? I'm just leaving it there. You gotta figure out how this applies to you. You know, I don't know any of you well enough to say, now wait a minute, I know you did that. But ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, am I participating in that? Am I being quarrelsome? You know, I know, and the Lord has really checked me on this and really, really asked me this question. Is it more important for you to be right than it is for you to have a good relationship with somebody? That's that quarreling and division and jealousy. Let me say that again. Is it more important for you to be right than it is to have a good relationship with somebody? You know, because, you know, when somebody's speaking wrong, I want to correct them. You know, that's who I am. It's my sassiness, as my mother would call it, you know? Down, girl, down. But it all goes back to love your neighbor as yourself. Do no wrong to others. Think about the wrongness of sexuality outside, you know, like wild parties and sexuality. The number of women that I have prayed with that have been wounded and burdened by earlier behavior in their life, and the men who regret what they did with other women. Huge. And when that happens, it's like, we harm our own souls. We harm our own souls. It's right time to wrap this sucker up. So let's finish with this instead. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Huge. I just want us to take a minute You know, we've talked about a lot of things here. We've talked about honoring authority, about loving our neighbor, about not being a part of immoral activities. What is it the Lord wants you to zero in on today? Okay. What is it the Lord wants you to zero in? Where is this you're going, that just hits too close to home, Debbie. You just stepped on my toes. But sometimes you don't have the choice of what God's word said. You have to preach what it says, not what I want it to say. Yeah. So I leave you with that.
I know we're going long. I just want to connect this to real quick. I'm not going to preach for long. I just want to share these couple things as we prepare to come up for communion. Like, this is the letter of Romans. We've been in it for 14 weeks or something. This is one continuous thought from Paul. So as we're hearing this today, I want to take us back. If we read Romans backwards, it maybe gets a little simpler. Romans 6, he says, what then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Don't you know, all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into the death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Read through Romans again this week. Dad and I were just kind of like looking at stuff, and I was going, oh my gosh, in light of what we're talking about today, there he is. And Romans 8, when it's like, oh yeah, we're adopted children of God. That's who we belong to. That's our DNA. That's how we act. So when we hear about Romans 8, going into adoption and justification, all these things, that comes up in Romans 13 when we're wrestling with, I don't know how to do this, God. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit, that's what I'm asking you to do, you're my children. And then Paul says, and that time, oh my gosh, this was so good. He says, in Romans 8, and I was thinking about taxes. I was thinking about that stuff that we don't want to do. Think about politicians that we can't, in our natural self, honor. He says, if God's for us, who is against us? And then he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Who? Will hardship or distress or persecution? Famine because you don't have enough? Will that separate you? Or nakedness because you don't have enough? Or peril? Or sword? The law of the land? Will that separate you? He says, verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced, Paul says then, and I think this is where we stand today as we prepare to come to the table. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, we could say Congress, presidents, dictators, we could say whatever, add the list, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Read Romans again, like this week, in light of what we just were talking about. Read Romans again and bring out all those places that we're uncomfortable with and we don't have answers for. Say, show us, Lord, how to live. Show us, Lord, how to die. Like, what parts of us are kicking up like zombies from the grave wanting to say, no, but don't you understand? He says, no, remember your identity in me. This is what this meal is about. Remembering that Jesus died. And where we're not enough, he says, I'm enough. Or we're kicking up and saying, oh, there's something in me that wants to fight back and step out of my Christian identity because I use fists. He says, no. Follow my way. It's the way to true life.